The Rod and Staff podcast comes out of the host's passion for Christ and his church. It exists to encourage a deeper engagement with issues that pertain to doctrine and life. Check us out at rodandstaff.org. Welcome to this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast. I'm your host, Jason Matosian, along with my co-host, Roger Behramyan. And on this episode, we will consider, again, kind of the topic of race and the Christian life and even the Christian heart. Before we get to that topic, though, Roger, it's good to see you.
You too.
Is it good to be seen? Yeah.
Good to be seen.
So I'd like to ask you a question here as we're trying to get to know one another. Roger, what was your major in college and why?
Well, I had two majors. I changed my major. So my first major was computer science. And then I changed to computer information systems. And only a technology nerd would understand what I'm talking about. And if you want to know why, I'll be totally honest. I wanted to make a lot of money, and that's what led me into technology. And I did finish my degree, and now I am not following that path.
I was going to say, had that work out for you?
Unfortunately, God had a different plans for my life and changed it toward my senior year, and everything changed from that point on, so.
You know, I'm grateful that he had a different plan for you, to be honest, and so it's a good thing. Very good. Well, we're on this topic of race again because it is so big. And last time we were doing our best to kind of think through some of the theological topics that pertain, some of the theological lenses that through which we can look at this issue of race. And obviously we have to be upfront about the fact that we're both actually Armenian Christian pastors, elders, trying to talk about an issue that as of right now, those who are most involved would be the African-American community, the Black community. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't have a voice at all in this, but certainly some might look at us and say, well, I mean, what's this to you? I actually think that theologically that's a problem. Yeah. So we can address that at some point too. But as we talked a little bit about the fall, we talked a little bit about the heart, and I know we wanted to examine some of this further, but what other theological issues arise, or is there something even more specific in some of the things that we've already talked about that you would say, hey, I want to point out this issue that's going on around us. What's going on in your mind, Roger, on this?
Yeah, I think one thing we didn't talk about specifically last time was the implications of the gospel on our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're centered now on Christ and the gospel has changed us and made us new, then the implications of living out those truths are connected to the issues of race and how we view other people who are different from us, other people who are being oppressed and going through suffering, and maybe even other people who we disagree with. Mm. How do the implications of the truth of what we believe affect that?
Yeah. Let's push on that one about those who disagree with us.
It's huge, right?
Yeah.
What is the natural response of our culture today? I think we were even talking about that. If you wanted to write a blog post, what's the natural response right now if you disagree?
Cancel them, right? Yeah.
But what is the view of even the believer? Do you ever notice the believer even responds wrongly? Do we sometimes do the same thing just in a more Christianized version?
Yeah, we just claim the Bible on our side and we rip on each other. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's hard, Roger. I'll be honest. It's hard for me to look at Twitter these days, because there are people that I respect, godly men and women on different sides of some of these particularly social justice issues, right?
Yeah.
People I've loved, I've read, I've listened to, I've appreciated, and they can be so harsh with each other that, talk about cancel culture. They've canceled each other in many different ways. And sometimes not just figuratively, sometimes literally they've canceled speaking engagements and things together. Yeah. How do we think, if we're looking at the world, that's one thing, but when we're looking even within the body of Christ, how do we treat people who don't agree with us on what we're, I guess the question would be, I'm assuming we would consider this a secondary issue, but maybe not. That's another thing. Maybe some people just think it's such a primary issue, but what were you thinking about when you're thinking about this issue of how the gospel impacts the way we treat those who disagree with us?
And I think it reveals what's going on the inside of us. You know, if we got two levels here, we got believers, we're talking about how we're treating other believers, but how we're treating those around us and how we're thinking about those around us. You know, if our hearts have changed and we're thinking wrongly of others, we're not thinking in terms that are, trying to think how to put it, but I think it could bring up a pride in the heart. Like we know best, or we're better than these other people. We're more self-righteous. Look, we don't do that. Look what other people have done. We kind of puff ourselves up to think we're better, feel good about ourselves, and we're not understanding. Even if you disagree, to understand somebody or understand a position is much better than to just either cancel or to make arguments that they're not making, or say something about somebody that's untrue. I've seen that on Twitter too. Let's take half the person's statement and then be critical instead of taking the entire statement.
And take half the statement, misunderstand even the half that we're taking, and be critical of them. I was thinking about, and this is not necessarily an in-house Christian fight, but I was thinking about what an opportunity was missed. If you're familiar with what happened with Drew Brees recently, he's the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, and he said something about kneeling as disrespectful to the flag and those into the military, et cetera. And then I think it was LeBron James came out and argued or spoke against him, saying like basically how ignorant could he be to make that kind of claim, and see, it's proving the racism that we've been talking about. Drew Brees came out and apologized. And I was really frustrated with the whole situation, and especially that Drew Brees apologized, and not because I'm not trying to endorse his take on it or anything like that, but I thought, how cool would it have been, and how helpful and maybe even healing it could have been, if Brees had, instead of saying, I apologize and I just take it all back, and, you know, whatever, if he had said, hey, you know what? Hey, LeBron, let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. Let's get together. And I'd like to understand why you think that what I said was so problematic, and I'll listen with an open mind. And I'd like to share why I said some of the things that I said, and if I need to be corrected or change, or, you know, let's talk about this. Imagine what could have been. And that could happen with our Christian leaders, and it doesn't happen there either.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if the connection is fair, but I just think about, you know, over time as social media has grown, how the self has been exalted. And the self has been exalted first to give opinion. So I want to be known, and so I want everybody to know what I believe. So everybody has a thought upon everything. You know, we're doing a podcast and we're bringing in our thoughts, right? So it's self-evident. But but then what happens is your thoughts are elevated to my thoughts are right and yours are wrong. And it goes to the next step to say, well, my thoughts are right, yours are wrong, and yours are not even valid to be heard. We
Right.
can't even disagree anymore. Now we have to rid you of the conversation because it's not even worthy to be spoken of. Now, there are some things that should be, you know, we should not tolerate. But in conversations or disagreements, there's not even that in the world anymore that we see in the social media world. You see a spirit of just so much anger, divisiveness with yep. others, and pride building up. And that's what concerns me the most, and why sometimes I want to be silent and don't want to say things. You know, the proverb says, you know, even a fool when he's silent is considered wise. You know, and you're like, the fool is the one who's always saying foolish things, but you know, and he stops talking, that's when there can be even wisdom in that. So it's difficult, but I think that as believers, and I think about the gospel, has the gospel changed us inside, internally? Is it impacting us daily as we're relating to other people? We all have moments where we're going to fail. We all have moments of pride, right? But if that's not continuously changing us, we may be getting off track.
Even though I want to take your counsel and basically be silent the rest of this podcast so that I'll be at least apparently wise for a little while, I do want to add to that. I think that's such a helpful direction that you're taking us in this conversation. I want to say that one of these things that the gospel has called us to die to self. Actually, the gospel declares that if we're in Christ, we have died to self. And we live with him in him. And one of the things that we're not seeing in so many of these discussions is people who are humbled, who have died to themselves. We see a lot of selfishness in so many different ways. And so it's very hard sometimes kind of trying, not necessarily successfully, but trying to be moderate and balanced and just simply try to look at both sides to honor these image bearers on both sides.
Yeah.
What ends up, I want to say, it's kind of like marriage counseling. I want to take each side separately and talk mm-hmm. to them and say, hey, you're being selfish. You're not thinking clearly here. Mm-hmm. You're forcing ways that are not God's ways. You're being proud. But I don't want to do it in front of the other side, because then they'll take it wrong. You know, like I want to pull each side to the side separately, because I do want to say, for instance, what would I want to say to our church, to our people?
Yeah.
Because we're predominantly an Armenian church and so viewed as white, what I would want to say to our people is have compassion.
Hmm.
Mourn with those who are mourning. Your heart should break. You should check yourself when you're getting really irritated at these protesters simply because it's not your cause. Ask yourself the tough questions. What's going on inside of your heart that is making you dislike what's happening? Is it God-honoring? Is it gospel-centered? Because if it's not, it's not good. And then I would want to, you know, to go to the Black community and ask them similar questions on the other side. But these heart questions, Roger, require us to think about the heart. And I'd like you to, if you take a moment, just when we're saying what's going on inside the heart, what are we really asking?
Yeah, in scripture, when you think about the heart, and the picture is the inner part of man. It's the inner self, the inner you. It's where your thoughts are residing. It's where your desires are coming out of. It's where your will is. Scripture uses a picture of that in different areas, and the heart's the real you. It's who you are and what's driving everything you see on the outside. So the words, the actions, and the emotions you have all are being driven by what's inside the heart. And at times, different things are filling the heart, as Jesus says, what's filling the heart, and then that's exposed. So I like to look at, you know, what you see on the outside is just revealing what's on the inside. And that could just be at that state of time. It doesn't mean one outburst of anger is a continual, you know, you're an angry person. No, it could have just been, there's a lot building up and that was a state, and you need to deal with really what's going on the inside rather than just behavior.
So what should one of our people, let's say someone from our own congregation, you know, they open up Facebook, they're looking and they see a BLM, you know, Black Lives Matter protest and defund the police and all these things. Okay. What should they ask about their heart when they're react? So they're reacting to this.
Mm-hmm.
They're reacting. What should they ask about their reaction, about their heart, about their affections at that moment that would help them to be gospel centered, gospel grounded? What are some of the questions that might help us? Because we're all reacting right now.
Yeah.
Right. We're seeing these racial things. We're seeing the protests. We're seeing the looters. We're seeing this. We're seeing the police. And we're all reacting. But how do we examine to see that we're allowing the gospel to shape us?
Yeah. After I tell them to turn off Facebook and take a fast from news right. for a little while. I think even thinking of just asking yourself some questions. Why am I angry at this? Do I understand what that person is expressing and going through? Am I able to connect to that person? What do I want? What am I desiring? Do I want, you know, what's driving me?
Yeah.
Do I want to be right? You know, those are just probing the heart and thinking about the expression of what's going on in the inside, thinking of your thoughts. How am I thinking about this other person? And is that the way God would have me to think about any other human being?
Yeah.
If Christ has died for such a sinner like me, and I'm not compassionate toward anybody to begin with, okay, I need to go back to the cross and remember who I am before the Lord before I judge another human being so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just a few questions to think through.
And the gospel calls us to esteem others more highly than ourselves,
mm-hmm.
right? Paul tells us that. He says, you know, have the mind of Christ, have this mind that Christ also had. And the whole point is that there's this humility that he was willing to take on flesh and right,
yeah.
become a servant, die the slave's death. And I sense that in myself, as well as in a lot of my brothers and sisters, we have this... we react in a way that is not really esteeming others more highly, but esteeming ourselves pretty highly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Not considering, and again, we don't have to agree. We don't even have to endorse at all when there's unrighteousness. But the compassion, remember, and it's hard because it's so cliche. People throw this out all the time, but it's hard. But we still need to think about it. Christ himself, the Lord Jesus himself, sat with the sinners and the tax collectors. He never endorsed their sin,
mm-hmm.
but he seemed to be with them to introduce himself. That's how I wrote in one of my articles. He introduced himself to them, sat with them, and then said, go and sin no more. You know, there was this relationship that he was willing to build that I feel like we've drawn lines.
Yeah.
We don't think in that esteem others more highly way.
What I've done in the past, or what's really helped me, you know, because we want to practically do things, is, you know, I fought against that in my own heart of having, you know, judgments against other people. And one of those areas was I knew a chaplain from the LA jails here, and he had invited me to come into the jail. And I had always had, you know, okay, these people have committed crimes, they're serving their time, you know, they get what they deserve kind of thing. And I didn't have a heart of compassion for them. Even though what they did was wrong, shouldn't the gospel still be able to penetrate their lives and change them? So I remember the first time I went into the jail and just my heart completely changed as I saw the brokenness of sin. And now the gospel can come and bring healing. And I remember, after going to one of the Sunday services and doing a message, the chaplain said, "Hey, can you stay with me? I want you to talk to this guy with me." Mm. And he knew this guy, and the guy was in prison for a triple murder.
Wow.
And he was waiting, or he was waiting his sentence. He was in the jail waiting his sentence. And he's, and chaplain's like, "Can you pray with him right now and just talk with him?" And we sat around just talking, getting to know him a little bit, and just prayed for him. Mm-hmm. And it was just a moment where I thought, wow, you know, my heart needs to break for this man. Yes, what he did is wrong. And yes, all that's affected, but he's standing here and is open to hearing the message. And that's the heart I want to have. But it took me practically getting out of my comfort zone and just pushing against what I was comfortable with and going against my judgments and just opening myself. And I think even race issues, being open to understand another person and then take the message of the gospel and the implications of redemption for all people that is available and helps us have a better perspective than just the anger, animosity, division that we just see all around us. It's heartbreaking.
Amen. And if we just saw, I mean, like what happened to you, Roger, in the jail was you began to see the humanity of this person,
mm-hmm.
which really, in fact, for us as God's people, as believers, we know when we say that the person's humanity, we mean that they are made in the image of God, that they're image bearers. And if the Lord tells us in the book of James that we should be careful how we use our tongue against someone who's made in the image of God, how much more all these other things, we have to take the fact that they are image bearers seriously in the way we interact with them. Now, again, it's the same reason, by the way, that, you know, the Lord makes it clear why we should punish sin too, right?
Yeah.
We're not saying don't punish sin, and we're not saying, you know, in terms of the legal things, but we're saying our heart reaction, because honestly, this podcast, our desire is for people that we're ministering to as well as others, how to think Christianly. And it mm-hmm. starts with thinking what the gospel calls us to think in terms of the selflessness and lifting up others and seeing others as the image bearers they are. And I think that's mm-hmm. an important thing. I mean, there's really a lot to push on this topic. There's other things I was thinking about on this topic. We talked last time about justice and yeah. righteousness. One of the things I was thinking about too is, and we can't really get there, but kind of what's a biblical expectation of, you know, for these societal changes that we want to bring about? I mean, what's our duty as God's people? Do we, I'm not saying we shouldn't set out to change the world, because perhaps God is calling us to that, but what's our duty? It kind of goes along with our expectation. If you were to think of what's the goal of the Christian in terms of race relations, I don't know, what would you say to that?
Wow, you're gonna throw the hard one at me.
Yeah, and you have 30 seconds to answer that, by the way.
I solve all the world's problems in 30 seconds. I think you want to have a changed perspective and a changed heart, a compassionate heart for others, as you brought up about being image bearers. And then at the same time, where there is opportunity to bring about change, to be part of that. It's a good thing to bring about that, because the gospel isn't just a message we believe and then we go to heaven. God has left us here to work and to do good, both inside the church to our brothers and sisters in Christ, but to the world around us, and how we look at the brokenness and try to bring healing to what has happened around us. So how do we bring healing where there is division and brokenness? And you know, I see that as some good goals of our lives.
And isn't that part of the cultural mandate, if you will, this, when we think back to the garden, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and, mm-hmm. and we're to be caretakers or guardians, have dominion over all. I mean, it's part of our being image bearers, being representatives of God, to kind of bring his presence to the whole world. Now, obviously that's done in many ways, and maybe the clearest way through missions and evangelism, but it's also in living out that gospel. Mm-hmm. And So yeah, I think walking with the oppressed and helping to encourage them, taking care of the, like we said before, the widows, the orphans, mm-hmm. the fatherless. And there are many ways we could consider doing that, but it's a complicated issue and no yeah. quick answers. And that's the other thing that I don't like is memes, yep. right? We don't need bumper sticker answers to this. You know, I've got the solution. Blue Lives Matter. Okay, yeah, we know. Yeah, blue lives do matter. Yeah, no, all lives matter. No, okay, that's not it. Yeah. Or Black Lives Matter. Okay, come on, let's talk. Yeah. And I think that's an important part of this. Well, time is escaping us. So, Roger, what's one thing that kind of you want to hold on to from what our discussion was today, and maybe something that you'd like to think about some more as we move on?
Yeah, I think I like how you bring up about being image bearers and really thinking about that and how we relate to people. But I think there's just such a difficulty in or a tension in our hearts of how do we respond? What can we do? We have the heart we want to, but how can we best do that? To honor the Lord and to honor people who are made in the image of God. What about you?
Yeah. Well, I think to piggyback on that last part of what you're saying, you know, what are we to do? And because people want to do something, mm-hmm. I think in some ways it starts with doing the ministry that God gives us opportunity to do. And so something like you did, go out of your comfort mm-hmm. zone. You went into the jails. You know, maybe for some of our people it would be go into some poverty-stricken areas and take food to the food banks or go and serve at Union Rescue Mission. See others as humans. Go out and serve for the sake of Christ Jesus. Yeah. And just see with the eyes that Christ had of compassion. Look at what the fallenness and brokenness around us has done. Some of it, we seclude ourselves in the suburbs or whatever you know, if you will, and we don't see a lot of the brokenness. Maybe just to do something, go out and just start to see people for who they really are as image bearers, the ones that Christ himself was willing to come, live, suffer, die for. And we're his followers. What are we willing to do for his sake? So I think that's something that I want to kind of push on and think about some more myself. Time has come and gone yet again. And for those listening, we hope that you enjoyed our discussion. We know that there's so much more that can be discussed, but if you were blessed by it, encouraged by it, challenged by it, we hope that you will subscribe and share and join us again the next time we're together talking about some important issues. If you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff Podcast, please subscribe and share with others. For more information or to contact the host with questions or comments, please send email correspondence to feedback@rodnstaff.org. That is feedback@rod, the letter N, staff.org.